Can y'all call WREL and see if they can help us get a good seat inside of the fire?
Breaking news, a fire burning in Wake Forest. WREL is live with what's preventing first responders from putting the flames out quicker. Plus, a man's heart stops beating while playing pickleball at a Durham Parks and Rec. How he says the staff saved his life.
This warmth and sunshine won't last much longer. I'm timing out clouds and heavy rain chances that may have you changing your weekend plans.
We are staying on top of breaking news. Firefighters are fighting a brush fire in Wake Forest tonight.
Unfortunately,
yeah, the video's
gone.
There we
go. We're back.
Good evening. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. So we have a live look over the scene, right? Sky 5 up over top. Of course, I think that's what we lost was the live look. This is some video a little bit earlier as you see kind of the smoke billowing out in some of these marshy or wooded areas a little earlier this afternoon. Fortunately, no businesses were threatened. No homes were threatened. But it was pretty close to a neighborhood. We want to send things in to Mark Boyle at the WREL Live Center with the latest on this one. Mark.
Dan, good evening. That fire burning near the Burlington Mills Road area in Wake Forest. I want to show you some additional video here, give our viewers at home an idea of what this looks like. It's been burning for the better portion of about 2 hours or so there in Wake Forest. And one of the challenges tonight for firefighters getting to those flames, can we show the map of where this is happening right now? If you live in that area, you're likely to see the smoke. So here we go as we push in on this, not far from Sharon Farms Lake either. So right off the Neuse River, that is where this fire continues to burn. Again, no homes or businesses threatened, but a scary situation. And again, crews out there right now trying to get that under control. Back to you.
All right, Mark, thank you.
Let's get a live look now on the ground in Wake Forest. WREL's Aaron Thomas joining us there. Aaron, what are you seeing?
Yeah, Ashley, it is certainly a busy scene here. We're at the staging area off of Burlington Mill Road here in the town of Wake Forest. And in fact, since we've been here, we saw members with the Forestry Service actually go inside and try to tackle this fire. Let's actually show you some of the video and show you what some of the firefighters are up against. Now, I'm told by the battalion chief that he was made aware of this fire. We had a viewer that actually noticed some fire burning near the Chevy dealership. As for that forestry crew service, their goal is to use what's called the backfire technique, so they want to purposely set a fire and hopefully blocking the path of the wildfire that's already burning. That goal, in turn, will hopefully change the direction the fire is moving. I'm told that some of the challenges, in addition to trying to find the best access point, is how dry it is outside and also the wind gusts that continue to pick up. Actually, take a listen to this audio. We can actually hear the battalion chief calling for the assistance of Sky 5 to give a better example of what firefighters are up against this evening.
WREL news helicopters above us. Can y'all call WREL and see if they can help us get a good seat in size of the fire?
The battalion chief tells me that it was actually our Sky 5 that helped them determine the size of this fire. So we're talking anywhere between 5 to 10 acres that continue to burn for now approaching 2 hours. As we mentioned, there are no evacuations at this point, but of course we're going to be on scene as these crews work to try to get everything under control and find a cause of the fire. Ashley.
All right, Aaron Thomas reporting live in Wake Forest. Thank you, Kat Campbell. This is what can happen when there is a red flag day like today, mix of wind gusts, low humidity, really creating that risk of fire danger.
And red flag warnings are not all that common here in our viewing area. We had increased fire due to winds gusting up to 30 miles per hour today. So once the fire started there, it was really easy for it to take off. We're thankful for everybody in the forestry department and the firefighters out there working hard tonight. The air is very dry. That also helps to fuel these fires. Relative humidity levels 20 to 25% today. Until 8 o'clock, another hour is when we have this red flag warning in effect. And there's high fire danger across the entire area, but especially in our counties bordering Virginia. And you will want to refrain from burning through the remainder of the evening and tonight because of the fire dangers that you see out there and you could clearly see toward Wake Forest. Satellite and radar showing signs of relief on the way. All the cloud cover here coming together, it will spin up an area of low pressure, and that's going to bring some rain our way. Friday and Saturday is when we have the best chance for rain, especially Friday night. That's when when we have 100% chance of rain. Some heavier rain is likely to fall Sunday, your one dry day for the weekend. And I'll have a closer look at the rain timeline to help you plan ahead coming up.
Okay, Kat, thanks.
So it is up to the Board of Trustees at St. Augustine's to solve the school's financial crisis, though groups of students and the staff and some of the alumni from the school aren't quite sure if they're up to the task. A former member of that board actually tells WREL's Matt Tallhelm that they think it's going to be up to the community to take action.
A mask family photo might as well be a yearbook for St. Augustine's University.
All my family, my father and his siblings, went to St. Aug. My grandmother attended St. Aug when it was called a normal school.
That's why it's been difficult for Dr. Alan Mask to watch his relative's alma mater struggle to survive.
It's been extremely painful. It's been extremely painful.
Mask, who contributed medical stories to WREL for decades, also served on the Board of Trustees for St. Augustine's before the accreditation and financial crisis overwhelmed the university.
There are a lot of accusations about mismanagement and this, that, and the other. I don't know about all of that. I know that revenue has been a big problem.
Mask says St. Augustine's relies on tuition, student fees, and donations to pay its bills.
And I think when you're robbing one to pay the other, then you get behind over in this area, and then all of a sudden it comes crashing down at one time.
The risk of losing that legacy extends beyond the 100-acre campus in Raleigh. This economic impact study shows that. It says St. Augustine's University is a valuable economic engine in its community, generating substantial economic returns year after year. The study found the university generates 684 jobs, including 383 off campus. The school pumped $72 million into the local economy.
And it's not just about St. Augustine and the students and the faculty there, but helping St. Aug is going to help to enrich this entire community.
Mask is urging the community to step up to support the 157-year-old HBCU.
Do you think St. Augustine's can survive this?
I think it can survive it. So I think that's what it is. It's going to be people being self-starters, I mean, willingness to step forward and to do something to help solve the problem.
Dr. Mask tells me over the years he's mentored many students from here at St. Augustine's. He says that this university provides so many of them an opportunity to earn a degree that they otherwise wouldn't have. Matt Tallhelm, WREL News, Raleigh.
A big issue for the agency charged with keeping you and your family safe on the roads. The North Carolina Highway Patrol reports 270 trooper vacancies statewide. Some of the toughest positions to fill are in the western part of the state and in rural communities. To fill the gaps, they're getting creative, targeting students at 65 community colleges across the state.
Cadets or applicants can apply to the basic law enforcement training program in their local community college and attend that training basically at home. They are a paid employee of the State Highway Patrol the entire time, including during that community college training.
Law enforcement everywhere have hiring issues. Raleigh, Durham, all over the U.S., really. WREL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance discussed this very issue in the WREL doc Durham Under Fire. We want to play a quick snippet of her reporting.
When you went through the academy, how many people did you have?
I believe we had 44 people start, and we graduated 34.
Today begins the next chapter of your law enforcement career.
At a recent academy graduation in February, there were 80% fewer cadets than when Corporal Day graduated in 2012.
There were seven. What happened?
Raleigh has a 20% vacancy rate. Goldsboro is understaffed by 30%. Police chiefs blame COVID, pay, and resentment towards officers after the death of George Floyd.
There's a multitude of factors that come into the decline in policing.
Ronnell Hinton is a recruiting sergeant for the Durham Police Department.
We now have a $10,000 hiring bonus. We also have up to $3,000 in relocation incentives. We have a language incentive. We have paid academy training.
A nationwide report found law enforcement resignations went up 47% between 2019 and 2022. Retirements went up 19%. The pandemic and the aftermath of George Floyd's death by a police officer had a lot to do with that spike, but this trend started well before 2020. A 2019 report found 78% of departments had trouble recruiting qualified employees. 50% had to change agency policies to make it easier. And 25% had to reduce or eliminate services because of staffing shortages. All these reports point to similar reasons. Generational differences, public image of law enforcement, length of the hiring process, and more. A 2023 DOJ report laid out some possible solutions. Rethink training programs, offer more benefits and bonuses, adjust shift schedules, and change the culture. Some of these will be much harder than others, and we are seeing some progress, like what the North Carolina Highway Patrol is doing and what Durham is doing. But at the end of the day, the job just isn't for everyone.
Policing is a noble profession, but it is a calling. It has to be something that you want to do.
And sometimes wanting to do it still isn't enough.
I've spoken to several people who want to be police officers, but they're afraid of what their friends or family might think of them for wanting to do it. So a lot of people shy away from it because of public opinion, honestly.
And so what do you say?
If they're your real friends, if they're your family, they're going to love you regardless, and they should push you forward to accomplish one of your dreams, no matter what it is.
You can watch Durham Under Fire right now on WRALdoc.com. And if you're interested in a career with Highway Patrol or law enforcement, we have information on our website, WRAL.com.
Durham Parks and Rec staff, they saved a man who had a heart attack while playing pickleball. Steve Martin collapsed at a Durham Rec Center earlier this month. Staff called 911 and then performed CPR and used an AED. The ambulance arrived about 8 minutes later. After a week in the hospital, he got to thank the people who saved his life.
You know, trained, calm, did what they were learned to do in their CPR training. And, you know, I'm here today because they were there.
Also, a big part of it was having an AED. It's a big reason those employees were able to save that man's life. State law requires that all government buildings have one of those devices inside. We've gone in depth on this topic before. An AED is, of course, part of what saved DeMar Hamlin's life, the Buffalo Bills player who collapsed on Monday Night Football. Who can forget that? We mentioned this example in Florida, where police officers used an AED in their cruiser to revive a man who they had tased. Hillsborough Police just put AEDs in their police cruisers. And Hope County, they took it a step further. They are training their deputies to be EMTs as well. And AEDs are easier at this point, the technology. It's easier to use. They're easier to find than ever before. Yet a lot of police departments still don't have them in their patrol cars. You can find more on our in-depth coverage on that topic on WREL.com.
New data released today shows people caring for Alzheimer's patients are more likely to develop their own chronic conditions. Stress has a lot to do with it. One doctor has double the stress. His parents were diagnosed on the same day.
I never imagined that I'd be in the position where, after they took care of us for so many decades, that the tables would turn.
How the experience changed the way he interacts with patients. Here is an alarming figure for those of us with aging parents. 59% of people who care for Alzheimer's patients report a chronic condition of their own. That's according to a new report released today. WRAL's Grace Haba found out just how big a toll caregiving can take.
My dad was 79, my mom was 77.
Dr. Scott Robert has helped treat patients with dementia in Durham for more than two decades, but says his biggest lesson in care came when he became a caregiver for his own parents.
I never imagined that I'd be in the position where, after they took care of us for so many decades, that the tables would turn.
Both of his parents, Bruce and Betty, were diagnosed with Alzheimer's on the same day in 2018. Bruce's dementia progressed quicker, and the father passed away in 2022 on Christmas Eve. Scott and his brother still help provide care for their mom, now in assisted living.
It's hard enough when it's one parent, but when it's both, it was, you know, a full body blow. And the amount of stress that it put on my marriage and also even my relationship with my brother, who was also functioning as a caregiver. The simplest tasks took, you know, a lot of effort to get them done.
Scott says his own experience has now changed the way he interacts with his patients and their loved ones.
Simply me living in Durham, them living in Cary, me going to pick them up, traveling back to Durham, going to an appointment, driving them back and me home, that was a 6 or 8 hour day. And I have been asking of families for 20 years to go, jump through these hoops, and I'm a lot more sympathetic, and I try to make things a lot more efficient for them if I can, and get one more test done before they leave the hospital that I know will save them time and stress and effort.
In Durham, Grace Haba, WRAL News.
Boy, it sure is a story so many can relate to, right? Let's go through a few more major findings in that Alzheimer's Association report released today. In North Carolina alone, an estimated 210,000 people live with Alzheimer's. That's 30% more people since last year. Caregivers have reported stroke, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, plus, of course, emotional stress. Caregivers reported the most stressful parts are often the cost of treatment and the logistics, just like that doctor mentioned, around all of the visits and phone calls.
What we hear from a lot of caregivers is that they are so in the emotional and physical reality of caregiving for their loved one that sometimes their own health concerns take a back burner to that.
We have more information and resources for help caregivers can get under the Health tab on WRAL.com.
Hundreds of votes were not counted in the March primary because voters didn't follow the new state laws. There were changes. More than 1,100 ballots were provisional because of the photo ID requirements. So people showed up, they didn't have their IDs. 473 of those ballots were not resolved and did not count. Another 1,100 ballots did not count because they didn't make it to the Board of Elections in time. There was a new deadline that was 7:30 p.m. on Election Day. So let's talk about allergies for a bit. It's hard to know what's floating around more this time of year, the pollen or some of the myths about allergy treatments. Here are a few that we found out there. The people outgrow allergies over time. So not quite, though it might seem that way. Allergies happen because of an overactive immune system. So as you get older, your immune system doesn't really get smarter. It gets a little less robust, you could say, kind of like your knees and your back. Drier climates are allergy-free. That's not true either. The West might not have a lot of birch, oak, or ragweed, but there is plenty of sagebrush, cottonwood, and other plants that pump out the pollen. You can't escape the stuff. And last one, eating local honey can lessen or cure allergies. This is this is one I believed for some time. In fact, I still kind of choose to believe it. It makes sense in theory, but scientific studies, they haven't been able to prove that this actually works. I'm curious if you have any allergy remedies out there that you swear by. I'll try anything. Let me know. Send me an email, dan@wrl.com. Pollen is going to be around for a while. Maybe we'll go in depth on this topic. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is our local expert on the topic.
And sufferer. And you know what helps? A different pillowcase. Every night during allergy season, I switch out my pillowcase, and it helps a little bit.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
I mean, it may be a myth, but yeah. I think, you can sleep a little better when you have a fresh pillow to sleep on at night after getting coated in the yellow-green dust all day. Mm-hmm. Pollen count high again today. Mulberry, pine, and oak are the issues in today's pollen count. But we've got rain on the way to help wash away the pollen. A 60% chance for rain Friday and Saturday. 100% chance Friday night. That's going to be the wettest time period this weekend. And then Sunday is your dry day if you need to do something outside. It does look pretty breezy over the weekend. Let's take a look at this area where you see all the white. That's a lot of cloud cover developing and an area of low pressure that's going to be spinning up. This is the low pressure system that tracks through the southeast into North Carolina and brings rain Friday and Saturday. But notice that cold front you saw on the map. That one's passing through tonight. So tomorrow will be cooler. It's still sunny. It is still dry. 63 for the high tomorrow. But we've got a northeast wind cooling us down. Friday, we start out with more clouds moving in, but a dry morning commute Friday. It's not until the afternoon and evening that we start to see the rain filling in Friday, and then the heaviest rain coming during the overnight hours. Looks like a washout Friday night, but it's not a washout on Saturday. The best chance for rain would be through about lunchtime, and then the rain should start to lighten up and break up in places. So heads up, you know, it's not a total washout of a weekend, but this looks like a pretty healthy dose of rain, an inch to an inch and a half. The WRAL live camera network showing some beautiful sunsets across the area tonight. Temperatures still hovering near 70 degrees. Of course, we have March Madness coming up. If you're going to be hosting a local watch party or headed to one of your local bars out there, temperatures are going to be in the low 60s for the UNC tip-off at 2:45 tomorrow. And for NC State, 9:40 p.m. game time. If you're staying up late, 52 degrees. For Duke, a good night to stay inside and watch basketball Friday night with all the rain, right? 56 degrees at tip-off for the Duke game. And, of course, we'll have rain chances into Saturday as well. So maybe not such bad weather if you want to stay inside and watch some basketball in the coming days. Looking ahead past the weekend rain chances, we've got a cooler morning in the forecast for Sunday, 38 degrees, and then 37 on Monday morning. Next week, temperatures look like they'll be near normal. The near normal numbers are in the mid-60s for this time of year. We could see another round of rain on Wednesday. No more of those 80-degree days that we saw last week. No more 70s even. So hopefully you made the most of today's beautiful sunshine outside.
It was nice. Kat, thank you.
Are you more likely to win the lottery or your March Madness bracket? That depends a lot on you. We'll try not to bust your optimism after the break.
So we're talking brackets and bad we are at them. But so the first round of the NCAA tournament begins tomorrow. We're wondering, have you filled yours out yet?
I filled out two so far.
The odds are in your favor, maybe?
I'm feeling pretty good about them. The odds, though, of getting it perfect, they are incredibly slim. But knowing something about basketball could actually help. Here are the odds if you just guess. You flip a coin. 1 in 9 quintillion.
Yeah. That's a lot. Here are the odds if you understand how the seeds work, or you've watched a couple of games here and there. Still pretty bad. 1 in 120 billion. No, that's a pretty big jump from the quintillion number. You are more likely to win the lottery, though, or get struck by lightning, or get eaten by a shark, maybe all three. So good luck.
I'm going to get myself a Powerball ticket or something then. We are all filling out brackets here at WRAL. We're going to let you know how it goes.
Good luck, and good luck to all the local teams. We got a lot of teams in it this year. Thanks for watching tonight on WRAL News.
Good night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.